Hi, guys. Just a reminder that this podcast, as well as many of my online resources, is delivered freely. If you would like to help me get this message of healing out to millions of people around the world, please consider clicking on the donate button on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Thank you. Hello, my favorite people. How are you guys today? This is Nicole, and welcome to my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs, a podcast where we discuss all the things. And even if you don't consider yourself in chronic pain, trust me, you are in the right place because there is no cure for the human condition. So we have to cure the things we can cure, which revolve around our emotional worlds, our physical worlds, our spiritual worlds, and there's so much healing to be done. So welcome, whomever you are, wherever you find yourself. So I was just looking back in the archives of the podcast, and I realized that the last I spoke to Dani Fagan, which was the first time she was on this podcast, was episode 66, January of 2020. The concept that I spoke to her within the same calendar year, although barely, is extraordinary to me because 2020 feels like it has been both 5 minutes and 5 years and five millennia. So it's just so crazy to look back into time and to see when I did what. But anyway, one of the great pleasures of doing this work is seeing how people carry on this journey into a beautiful transformation in how they live their lives. I oftentimes say, and it's sometimes hard for people to realize this in the moment, that pain is the biggest, littlest part, whether it be your emotional pain, your physical pain. You think it's everything when you first begin this work, but actually it morphs from being everything, from opening the door to bring you into this transformative work, into being the thing that brought you in, but then now you're no longer suffering in pain. You're no longer suffering with symptoms or syndromes or conditions. You have taken your diagnosis and set it on the back burner, although you still may look broken on MRI like me. You don't have pain anymore. And you start realizing this is about my life. This is about opening myself to my life. And Dani Fagan is an incredible example of that. So let me just tell you a couple things about Dani Fagan. The first thing to know about Dani is she was in incredible chronic pain, so much so that she mentions in this interview we have that she was using a wheelchair at times. So, you know, she was in a really dark spot. This is not a person who just jumped off her bed and became a yogi. You know, this was a pretty serious story. And if you're interested in hearing more about it, she is my interview guest in episode 66 from last January. But, you know, one of the things that's most beautiful about watching someone on the journey is that Dani was able to basically change her entire life as a result of opening herself to this mind-body work. Not only did she come out of her horrible chronic pain, her debilitating and life-stopping chronic pain, she got her yoga teacher training, her certification in India, and went on to create a therapeutic yoga practice and an entire website that she designed, which is beautiful, dedicated to helping people on this healing journey. So her website is called mytmsjourney.com. Remember that TMS stands for tension myositis syndrome. It's Dr. Sarno's umbrella term under which all mind-body illness lives. Actually, Dani and I spend quite a bit of time sort of just dissecting this a bit so people understand exactly what we mean by TMS and exactly how little you need to research it and understand it. It's really just for you to understand that your migraines are his fibromyalgia, and his fibromyalgia is her irritable bowel disease, and her irritable bowel disease is his back pain, and his back pain is her pelvic pain. And the reason why all of these syndromes and conditions and diagnoses live under the same umbrella is they are all very real, very painful, being experienced excruciatingly in your body. But the genesis of the pain is in your emotional world. Hard to believe, I know, but capital T true. So Dani's website is mytmsjourney.com. And she also offers a new offering, which I think is only maybe a month old, where she is doing these therapeutic yoga classes online. And she was kind enough to extend to our community, if you would like to try your first class completely free, the coupon code that you have to enter in the website is just journal speak, all one word. So should you want to, after this interview, hop on over and see Dani's work, you can have your first class completely free. Dani, thank you for that generosity. So I love Dani. I love her energy. I love talking to her. I love seeing her name pop up on my Journal Speak community on Facebook. If you are not on our community at Facebook, please do yourself the favor and go over there. It's free. It's private. Nobody sees it but the people on the page, and people are offering each other tremendous support. You just have to search Journal Speak with Nicole Sachs on Facebook, and you will find us, and you can request to join. It's a private group. So just request to join, and then, you know, give me a minute, and I will definitely, I see the requests many times a day, and I grant them. And remember to follow me on Instagram because I'm putting out free content there, and I have a IGTV series called I Am Evidence. Lots of content, lots of ways to do this for free. Follow me at Nicole Sachs, LCSW, NicoleSachsLCSW. Of course, if you want to dive deeper into the work on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com, lots of opportunities. You can take my online course. You can come to my virtual retreat. My next one is May 7th to 9th. And of course, my live retreats hopefully will be starting in the summer of 2021. Everything will be posted on my website. All right. So guys, let me tell you something. Dani Fagan, she's the stuff. She has many wise things to say. She will help you in your journey because she has been through it. She is you. She has been you, just like I am you. And we're all in it together. So without further ado, I give you Dani Fagan. Okay, so we are here today with Dani Fagan, and you will remember Dani from a previous interview when I had her on and she had made a certain amount of progress, was really dedicated to the work, but Dani has really sort of exploded onto the scene since then. And so I connected with her and I really wanted to sort of kind of loop back, see where she's at and see kind of like what has been the gold nuggets of her complete recovery. Cause I know that we all need some inspiration right now. So welcome, Dani.
Thank you. It's so nice to be back and to talk to you again, Nicole.
So tell me everything.
So since we last spoke, I think it was January, and I was about, if I remember correctly, I was about 20 days or so pain-free at that point. So it continued to go really well, and I did have like little relapses as you do and spikes here and there and stuff. But that was the real start of the kind of new life for me that has kind of changed since then. what happened was, I'd always wanted to, do a yoga teacher training, like, and I held this kind of idea in my head as an impossible dream, but a dream nonetheless. And a friend of mine went to a yoga teacher training that January. So I was like, oh my God, I didn't realize that you were at that kind of level and, you know, like how inspiring. And I thought, shit, maybe if she could do it, maybe I could actually do this. So I did still have loads of pain-free days, but I was having, you know, little flare-ups here and there and stuff. And I did doubt myself.
So Dani, just, I want to interrupt briefly and just because I don't want to go through the whole story, but just for people who haven't heard your first interview, Okay. Can you just give like the quick recap of how, like kind of as bad as it was, like the worst of it, and then what, so like just catch people up a tiny bit.
Yes, sorry. Okay. So I was about 3 years completely debilitated, back pain and anxiety, and I've actually realized since then just how many other symptoms I had throughout my life and throughout that time. I've made a little list, crazy stuff, headaches, dizziness, fatigue, the lot, basically, shitloads of things. And since finding Sano's work and finding your work, I put in the hours and put in the effort, and you know, listened to a lot of Dan Buglio's videos and stuff, and got out of that cycle of being in constant pain. I was using a wheelchair sometimes, and it was just horrific. But I got out of that, and I started to see, you know, have big days where I had pain-free days, and then it turned into weeks. And that was when I reached out to you the first time to say, look, this has worked for me. And I knew that it was going to continue to get better. But I was actually kind of happy at that point. If that was my life, I was all right with that. I could deal with that. But it continued to get better. So I'd still had spikes and stuff, but it was, you know, I continued to do the work, and I did pull back a little bit. But I think that's important to say as well, in terms of like, I stopped being so, trying so hard at healing. I pulled back a little bit. And, you know, I hear you say this a lot. I hear Dan say this a lot. And it really is true. But I think, like you say as well, it takes 1,000 times for you to hear something for it to actually stick. So I did pull back a little bit on the journaling every single day. I did it maybe every other day, 3 or 4 times a week. Because I found that my own awareness of like how I was doing was helping me get out of those spikes. So I knew what I needed to do to come down from those like pain levels or anxiety levels or whatever. And I used
So at the beginning, I just want to lay this out for people who are really new to the work. Mm-hmm. At the beginning, you bathed in the knowledge of the fact that you weren't broken.
Yes.
You did the work on a daily basis. Because I remember talking to you about this. Like, you really did the work. You were there showing up for it.
Yeah. And I worked from home and everything as well. So I didn't have any other distraction, really. I was just like full on jumped in head first kind of thing.
And then you're saying, as you were experiencing pain-free days and as you were kind of getting into the flow of life, that's when you went down to like every other day, giving yourself some breather in the space. And I actually think it's a really good point because I think a lot of people, one of the things that keeps them from really dedicating themselves to the work is saying, well, what, I'm going to have to do this for the rest of my life. Right. And I'm always saying to me, no. Like you need to shift your nervous system from fight or flight to rest and repair. So at the beginning, you do need to jump in with 4 paws. But as you start to heal, it's important to just create a balance and a flow. So anyway, that's what I'm hearing.
Exactly. And I found as well that like just by releasing that pressure on myself, that was part of the healing as well. So I kind of became perfectionistic in doing the work. So it replaced one perfectionistic trait of, you know, my crazy anxiety monkey brain into, okay, well, I'm doing the healing work now, but I became a pro at doing the healing work. And it just became obsessive, like listening to videos all day and learning all day. Right. And I'm still learning to a certain extent now. Like I've just become fascinated by the subject matter now, but in a different way, in a more relaxed, like just up for my own interest and knowledge. You know, it's not like I'm doing this, I have to do this. This is like do or die in order to heal. So around that time, just by pulling back a little bit, I found that I was kind of easing into the joy of my life again, and just experiencing more joy than I was like stress and trying to heal and all that kind of stuff. And that really helped, like starting to plan something for my future, like seeing a different avenue for my life that I expected to be constantly in pain and constantly having to lie down. And that changed. I could open my eyes again, and like my kind of life just got awake to my life again, kind of thing, you know?
It's amazing. And that is actually, I think, one of the most important things that people need to hear, because when people are in the depths of any chronic condition, of course, also having a diagnosis, and so then they can be Dr. Google and look online and see all the horrors of their diagnosis and all those things. There just becomes, I think, like a curtain that falls in front of their eyes where they can't see the rest of their life. They can't see. I remember when I used to live behind that curtain. Mm-hmm. And so it's so important to recognize that this curtain can lift. Today is not the last day. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. And so I think that's so important to highlight.
Yeah, completely. And it kind of like when you feel that, I was having a conversation with someone on your group the other day. When you feel that level of desperation, when that curtain feels like a wall, like it's never going to end, you literally have to give up and hit that rock bottom for you to be able to pick up and go again. Like, it's almost like part of the path, you know, that seems so desperate and so bad that you feel like throwing in the towel. You actually probably do have to get to that point. I certainly did.
I want to talk more about this because this is so important. Mm. You almost have to give up. And then you said you basically do have to give up. Yeah. Can you explain in your experience, first of all, what that feels like and why that is the beginning of everything?
I think for me, it felt like there was this, what, first of all, the doubt, like, this isn't going to work for me. I'm not feeling any relief yet. How the fuck can this be true? This isn't possible. My life is just going to be like this forever. All that doubt and disbelief, and just, you're convinced that your life is just going to be disabled in whatever sense that is for you, for whatever symptoms you have. And it's your everyday, like, for me, it was years, you know, and for a lot of people, it's much longer than that. But it just, that is all you know, and that is your whole life. And it's like, I don't believe this is going to work for me. This is ridiculous. How can an emotional exercise fix this? It's ridiculous, you know, all that kind of doubt.
Right.
And then it came to the point where I was just like, do you know what? Fuck this. I can't do this. I literally cannot do this. This is bullshit. I give up. Threw the book probably across the room and just like close the computer, switch off all this shit, unfollow everything on Facebook, and then just kind of like, nah, not doing that. And it was, I think it was literally the next day or some, it was really short, maybe even the same day, where my body just kind of went, oh, and it just let go of that tight, frantic, trying, perfectionistic, doubtful, all the circus that goes on in my head that we all have, I think, in this world, the circus of shit that goes round and round and round in your head just stopped. It just stopped. It was like a slowdown, like when you sink into water or something like that. I don't really know how to explain it. And something released. I don't know whether, you know, maybe it was my nervous system just getting the point, like, you needed to get to this step in order to stop freaking out about it all and just give in. And it was like a switch that went off. And after that, and it wasn't even like I kind of put effort into the next step. It was almost something natural just happened in my physiology or whatever.
So what you just described is the most eloquent description I have ever heard for the following statement, which is, transformation begins with the radical acceptance of what is. That is what Danny is describing. And guys, that is the fucking stuff, because you have to understand that, yes, we have to do the work. Okay. So somebody might be hearing this and being like, well, okay, you know, a typical TMS perfectionist. How do I get to that one? That's the one I want, you know, and I want people to understand it is a natural consequence of doing the work, because you can start doing it and either you're not going to require that kind of a rock bottom, because you're going to start doing the work and you're going to start seeing improvements. That's kind of the way Felicia was, who I had on my podcast a couple weeks ago. You know, she just did the work. She saw the improvements. She got excited and her life changed dramatically. But sometimes, and I am one of these people like Danny, you have to feel like this is crap and you're done, you're finished, you throw your hands up, you know, forget it. And that moment, your nervous system, what it feels is you're not fighting anything or anyone anymore. You are simply done. And that is called radical acceptance. And in a moment of radical acceptance, you clear the decks and your body becomes ready to transform. And like I said, not everyone has to go there, but when you go there, exactly what Danny said, it's like a letting down. It's a letting go. It's taking off the big winter coat you're wearing on the 100-degree day. You're just saying, you know, you're shedding. And that is a physiological experience. This is not just an emotional experience. This is, right? Can't you literally feel it in your body?
Yeah. It didn't feel emotional at all, because my emotions, if anything, were pissed off. It
didn't
feel like I gave in and I was like, oh, I'm okay now. Yeah, crack on. I can be good now. I could be opposite. I was just like, fuck, no, and no more. Stop. And it stopped.
Yeah. So you practiced radical acceptance. Your transformation became available to you. And then what happened?
I picked the work back up. I continued to do it, but I looked at it as like, as if it was just like you know, doing exercise or something like that, I realized that it was just going to have to be part of a health exercise that, you know, would help me download all the crap out of my head and out of my memories and out of my, you know, storage of my reservoir of rage or my reservoir, whatever it was. And it was helping me. Like, I realized that that tool was just going to be, and I believed as well, I did believe wholeheartedly, whether I was pissed off or not at the time and throwing in the towel, I did believe it. I believed it for years, but I don't know, it just had to get to that point where I just like had to stop because it was getting ridiculous.
So once again, you are describing in your story another one of my big heavy hitting theories, which is after you practiced radical acceptance, you became available for transformation and you started to do the work with love and not fear.
Yes, exactly that. I approached it in a, okay, this is actually good for me. I'm going to do this regardless of whether it'll ever make me pain free. I realized that it was a really beneficial practice and I was getting a lot from it. Not always. I didn't always feel these great big releases that people think that they need to get, or, you know, the that sort of like lightning moment where you have this great deep connection with stuff. That really happened for me. And I think that's important to say as well, that I've only really probably had a handful of really like deep and groundbreaking journal sessions in the whole time I've been practicing this, which is like almost a year now. What was I going to say?
Yeah, well, that's true. It's not necessary to have these cataclysmic, you know, I would say for me, I often, you know, of course, share my story about my reflections on motherhood. That kind of crazy eruption only happened to me only maybe two or three times. Yeah. Like, it's really more of the boring day-to-day shit, you know, just getting it out.
Yeah. It is. And it is just like a bit of a download of stuff. And you, it doesn't stay in your head. It comes out on paper. And you might still feel the sort of, you know, reverberation of it throughout the day and whatever. But that's normal. You can't just download something and then forget about it. That's just not possible. But I just found that it became more of a practice that I just needed to do for emotional health. And you know, after a little while, it did just release. And I think I actually, because I dropped that sort of obsessive checking in all the time on my pain and checking in on what how I felt, came the day where I just didn't feel it anymore. I didn't actually notice that it wasn't there anymore. It just stopped. Yep. It just faded rather than stopped. It faded. And I wasn't obsessed in checking in. I wasn't obsessed in, you know, having a look and is sitting up hurting me today? Is driving going to make me scared? Is, you know, that stuff just fades. And I think as well, it just takes time. Like, you can't do it overnight. It takes time and practice and consistency, and it just takes a while for your brain to get the memo. I think it certainly did for me, but just showing up consistently and giving it time, just be patient.
Absolutely. I mean, I know people get very frustrated, and I know why they get frustrated, because this work is like at the end of a triathlon. So, so people have already, you know, done the swim. And they did the million mile bike, and then they've run a marathon, and then they show up here crawling on the floor. And I'm like, okay, lots of work to be done. Yeah, you know, exactly. Nobody wants to do it. Also, of course, there's the natural resistance from the nervous system that makes you feel like this is a bad idea because it's protecting you from the feelings. And so I just want to say that it's so important what you're saying in terms of if you can chill. Look at this like taking a vitamin or doing a yoga class, a gentle yoga class, like not something where you are an outcome or you are a problem to be fixed, rather just this is what I need to do. And here's the thing. It's still a freaking miracle. Yeah. You were in a wheelchair. Like, and you're, and I know we discussed this right before we went on air, but you're totally chronic pain free. 100%.
100%. Yeah. Sometimes I might get a little mini twinge if I'm having a stressful time, but literally within minutes or an hour or so, it can go. I know I use my journal for that sometimes to just be like, okay, there's some shit I need to download here.
Yeah. And I do too, by the way. Yeah. It's called being human.
Exactly. I think that's just normal for anybody. But we have this tool now that we can turn to and use for any kind of stressful situation, whether you have pain involved in that or not. It's just, it's there to help you. And it's always, you know, like the page is always listening kind of thing. You don't need to necessarily, you know, have a therapist or speak to your friends or your family or whoever. You can just download it all on paper and It works. Fucking works, man.
So let's discuss something. Okay, so as recently, so Danny is, so for all of you guys that are murderinos and for all of you guys that heard about what happened when I got this mention from Georgia Hardstark on My Favorite Murder, Danny is the murderino who alerted Georgia to this podcast.
Yay, Georgia.
Yay, Danny. Yay, Georgia. So,
yay, Georgia.
So the reason I'm saying that is because one of the interesting side effects of getting a lot of attention in a short period of time to something that people might not know about is, and it's like 99% positive. So I don't want, I'm not saying this as a complaint, but I think that's very important to always bring up the counterpoint to whatever point that I'm making. Most people who have come to see this podcast over the past few weeks have been like, oh my Lord, this is opening my eyes and I am healing and I'm awake. So it's almost 100% amazing. But there's a small percentage of real misunderstanding of this work. So I kind of want to throw it out there so we can have a conversation about it, that one of the greatest misconceptions of this work is that I am suggesting that positive thinking can cure chronic pain. So Danny, what say you to that?
Fuck no. It's not that at all. And neither is it in your head. And neither are you saying that it's made up or it's all, you know, it is psychological, but it's not created because it's not coming. It's not all in your head, basically. The pain is real. The pain you're experiencing is real. You know, the inflammatory feeling you feel, the nerve pain that you're feeling, whatever that is, anxiety you're feeling, the physiological complete takeover of your body sensations is completely real. It's just not made from where you think, or it's not made from a structural problem. It's not made from an injury.
Right. It's the genesis. The genesis of the problem is in the brain science.
Yeah.
So, you know, people can get very angry and they can say, you know, this woman, meaning I'm the woman in this scenario, this woman is it's very dangerous. And one of the reviews called me very violent, which I thought was hilarious because, like, but I don't care. But I'm just saying how funny it is for me to be called violent.
That's crazy.
But the reason I'm so violent is because what I am suggesting is that you can think away your problem with your MRI. And what, once again, I feel it is so important for people to understand. I have an MRI that shows that I have an acute degenerative spondylolisthesis. That's what it's called. Now, the kind of irony is that in the last 25 years, it's never degenerated. It actually looks exactly the same, which means it was really never degenerative. But it is spondylolisthesis, and it's the same exact on MRI. So I am certainly in no way suggesting that you can do any emotional work and it will restructure your bones in your body.
No.
What I am suggesting, which is Dr. Sarno's original theory, which is we all have normal abnormalities in our body. Bulging discs do not cause pain. Spinal stenosis does not cause pain. Arthritis, and I know this could be controversial, but I've just dealt with it in so many people over the years. Bone on bone, all sorts of things that people think are so gnarly to look at on MRI. So there's certain, it does not cause pain. And the reason I know it doesn't, and the reason I know it's just a super big confusion when it comes to the medicine that we have been exposed to for all these years, is that I have thousands and thousands of examples over and over and over from people from all walks of life that have this picture of their body, but they do not have pain after doing this work. So it's, you know, if you are a skeptic, if you're a person who thinks this is crazy and violent, all I say is to you, my love, this is your life. This is your life. If you want to be angry and defensive and decide that this isn't possible, that is your choice. But if you want to lift that curtain that Danny just said feels like a wall, if you want to see a pinprick of light that might bring you to a place where Danny lives now, which I'm excited to move into what exactly you've decided to do with your life as a result of this incredible transformation. If this appeals to you, if this is any sort of curiosity is piqued, I invite you to know that this is for you too. Don't you think?
Absolutely. It's so weird as well, because it kind of goes against like everything you're told throughout your life from doctors, or everything that you're led to believe by specialists, and why would you not believe them? I mean, it's weird to think that, you know, your doctor's looking at your MRI and going, look at this, you know, and you're looking at it and you're going, yeah, that doesn't look right. And they're telling you it isn't right. So who the fuck are you supposed to believe? Some lady on the internet? It doesn't quite work at first in my mind. You know what I mean? Like, who is this? Who's this lady just telling me to breathe and journal? Right. Like, what are you talking about? I'm talking to a surgeon. It's like, yeah, it doesn't make sense, but it's real. Like, just believe it. It's real. Just try it. What have you got to lose, really?
Right. And the thing is, I think, well, let's play devil's advocate there. I think people do have a lot to lose, and what they have to lose is their comfort. Yeah. Their comfort in what it gives us to be in pain. Mm. You know, do you have any experience with that you had to kind of deal with that side of yourself to let go of the pain?
I guess sort of, just psychologically, I guess I'd become that person that was in pain. Like, that was who I was. It became a little bit of a crutch in terms of, I guess, well, not a crutch, but like, if I didn't want to go and do something, I always had an excuse to not go and do it.
Right. That's one of them.
Other than that, I don't think so. I wanted my life back. It was horrendous. Like, it was the worst thing I've ever been through, for sure.
Yeah, I think people who hold on to it a little bit more, like Robin, who I know that you have become connected with. Robin was one of, I know, he's such a dear. He was my real-time healer a few weeks ago, and Robin Tucker, and he is understanding now, and he's communicating this on social media, that one of the reasons he has held on to his pain is because he doesn't feel that his family deserves for him to be pain-free because of all the suffering that their decisions and their influence has had on him, that it's like they don't deserve to just relax now and have a pain-free son. Exactly. And like, that's just journal speak, by the way, guys. It's not that he hates his family or he doesn't want them to be happy. That's that inner child. That's that truth. That's that darkness that we have to expose. And as he's been able to expose it, he has beautiful epiphanies and he's starting to really improve.
Exactly. There was something that we shared a couple of days before we were talking about that subject together. And I posted something, I've just found it now on my phone to remind me. It says, sometimes we don't want to heal because the pain is the last link we have to what we've lost.
Wow. Did you write that?
No. God, I wish I did. I shared it. But that really resonated with me. And I was like, damn, that's harsh. And
Say that one again.
Sometimes we don't want to heal because the pain is the last link we have to what we've lost.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy, isn't it?
Deep shit right there.
It's a good one. But it's so true.
Yeah.
Depending on what your trauma is and depending on what, you know, what your emotional baggage is, like, if that's your only link that you have to that anymore and your pain is this signifies your connection to that thing, then letting go of that, it just feels like impossible, I suppose.
So for everyone out there doing this work, just keep that in mind. You know, these are all just gems. These are all just moments of wisdom, and to keep that in mind so that maybe if you butt up against that kind of barrier, you can say, I see what's going on here. Mm. And that can help you to move past it. Mm.
And this work teaches you as well, like, just to be super self-aware. And I think it took a few months for me to actually notice that, but you start to really see the way that you're thinking and these sorts of attachments that you have to those emotions or those past memories and stuff like that. The more you do this work, the more mindful you are and the more self-aware you are, and you can kind of see it before it even comes into play, before it even makes you emotional, before it even affects you, you know?
Absolutely. All right. So I know I like interrupted you 20 minutes ago. And we're finally going to roll back, but I know that ever since you did this work to the point where you are completely free, a person who makes all her own choices, who can go anywhere, do anything, has no fear of pain, one of the first things you did was do this yoga teacher training, and it kind of sort of ballooned into so many different ways that you've decided to change your life as a result of doing this work. So tell us kind of what's going on for you.
So when I started to have these pain-free kind of weeks and stuff, a friend of mine was doing a training in India in January, And I thought, wow, this is something that I've always dreamt of doing, but was always that kind of dream that I had for myself that I thought I'm never going to be good enough to be able to do that. Never mind the pain. I just thought there's never, no way I'm ever going to be that good at yoga to be able to be a teacher. And when she went and she came back and I was like, oh my God, I wish I'd have gone with you. How was it? Like, did you find it easy? And she was like, no, it was really hard, but I was able. And they teach you how to teach as well. You don't have to be like an Olympic yogi to be able to be a teacher. So then it just switched in my head. I was like, well, maybe I can do that too. And I had no idea at this point that I could, you know, somehow weave this into necessarily being my job or anything. I just thought I really wanted to do that as a challenge for myself. And there's like a, I can do this kind of moment, especially physically, since I'd kind of come out of all this pain. So I booked it relatively quickly and I went at the beginning of March. And then after that was supposed to be when I was coming to see you at 1440 Multiversity.
Yes. And do all COVID.
This. Yeah. In fact, today, I think, is the day that we were supposed to have the second version of that when it was rescheduled, but it isn't.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's awesome.
We've
so
got
sad.
Our mini 1440 now on it.
Yes, absolutely.
So I decided to do that pretty quickly. So that was, yeah, I decided sort of the end of January and I went, in March, and unfortunately it got cut short because of COVID, but I got certified and everything. It was crazy. I actually had some major flare-ups when I was there, so much self-doubt and like imposter syndrome coming in, and it was super healing just to be there and face all those fears and actually get through that. I think that was a big part of my kind of solidifying my healing from this by actually doing that. So I got the certificate, came back, and then I, like, COVID was in full force at this point, and my work basically completely dried up. I'm a graphic designer and digital marketer, so that was like, I had a little bit of work going on, but hardly any. So I had completely 3 days and this new certification and nothing to do with it, and I just didn't really know what I was going to do. But I think at that point I was like, well, I've got time. I might as well like write a blog or something to just like share my healing story and help other people somehow. And also like just thank, you know, you and Dan and whatever, and just put a little piece together that I could share with people and just say, this is what I did and maybe it can work for you too. And then me and my partner were like working on this thing. He's a software engineer and like programmer, and he's amazingly talented. So he was like, why don't we just do this a bit better than what you're talking about? Like, you know, you can do the graphics and the content and curate everything, and I'll build the back end and stuff. So in the end, long story short, it turned into creating a really cool like online resource for TMS healing. Lots of different modalities on there, and but mainly the things that I did, basically. I haven't added necessarily a lot of stuff that I haven't had any experience with. So,
well, that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I know there's loads of extra stuff, like a list curable and a few other resources as well that I didn't personally use, but I know are very popular and stuff like that in this space. But yeah, I just wanted to put, when I was healing, I was finding that like, it was quite hard to find all the different resources, and it's quite a stressful time when you're trying to figure stuff out, all this, you know, doctor Googling and all the trying to find what does this do and how do I do that? And how do I actually add this resource, and what books do I need to read and all that kind of stuff? It can take quite a long time to find all those resources and like have someone say, yeah, that one's good, or no, this one's good, or whatever. So I thought, I've done this now. I have all these links on my computer of all these different resources. I might as well just put them all together and make it easy for someone that's in a really stressed space where they're trying to recover themselves, and just go, look, this is what I did. This worked for me. It might be different for you, but have a look at all this stuff and even have it in one place that's kind of easy to understand and, you know, whatever.
It's an amazing resource. And I want to say this, I'm always very mindful of people coming to my podcast, like I said, potentially from the My Favorite Murder mention, but also just from wherever they find it. Mm-hmm. And people don't necessarily know what TMS is. And mm-hmm. we talk about TMS a lot, and I know that it's mentioned a lot on your website. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to take a moment to say, it doesn't really matter to understand the exact minutia that goes to the what is the thing where you have TMS?
Abbreviation.
Yeah, it's not really an abbreviation. It's a word. You guys are probably all screaming it out there. But I'll think of it. But acronym. Thank you. Thank you, brain. I love when my brain just has it right there and it says, nope, not giving it to you. It's not going to go smoothly, Nicole. So the acronym TMS stands for tension myositis or myoneural syndrome, TMS. The reason that it's important that you know it is I just don't want it to be confusing to people. It is a term that Dr. Sarno coined in his 50 years of being an attending physician at NYU Medical Center. And it was the way he described another word you could say would be stress illness. Mm-hmm. But even the word stress illness tends to be confusing for people because somebody might say, no, I'm sorry, Nicole, I have an MRI that shows I have bulging discs and a cracked spine. So I'm not a person that could apply to stress illness. And so essentially what TMS means, and I just think this is the most helpful thing for people to understand, it is an umbrella under which any diagnosis that is chronic but not completely fixable with like a pill. You know, if you have strep throat, it's not TMS. You need antibiotics and it's going to go away and you're not going to have any hint of strep throat in, you know, 3 or 4 days. That's strep throat. But almost every diagnosis that people get that are chronic, like migraine disorder, fibromyalgia, irritable bowel disease, pelvic disorders, obviously back, neck, shoulder, knee, hip, elbow, foot, plantar fasciitis. I'm just like, my brain just goes off into all these different terms. But the point is, the reason that we use the term TMS and that it's on Danny's site a lot is because it's just an abbreviation. And people like to, you know, for any of these ailments, because the whole point is even though every one of these ailments feels very different to you, you know, a person coming into this work new would be like, wait, you're telling me that my migraines and his irritable bowel are being solved from the same work? And I say, this is a very important thing for people to understand. Yes, because this is all brain science. You have one area, which is like command central for your entire body. And that is your brain, which works hand in hand with your nervous system. Those entities have the only ability that any functioning part of your body has to make you feel anything. You know, some people used to say, how, explain it to me that you're not saying my pain is in my head. And I go, well, if I cut off your head, you're not going to feel anything. So we could start there. Mm-hmm. So the brain is command central. And so TMS is just an umbrella term under which all of these different ways in which this process via your brain and your nervous system are being expressed through your body. Mm-hmm. Do you think that I explained that well enough?
Yeah, perfectly. And there's on the website as well, I don't like to kind of mention any specific symptom, or like even pain specifically, because I know there's just so many different ways that this can manifest.
Yeah.
And using of those that abbreviation is just simply because it's the kind of most commonly used, you know, word for the umbrella of all these different conditions. So I did fight with using that abbreviation as well, like the acronym rather, but I mean, I just needed to make a decision and get the thing out there and stop procrastinating over the name of it and just like get something out there for people to read. So yeah,
it's a great point, but that's the reason I'm taking such a major effort to explain it, because I don't actually do this often on this podcast, and I think and also because I know that that's like, it's so central to your message. So I want people to understand that's what it means. So when you see the acronym TMS, what I want you to do is I want you to pick your symptom, whatever it is that's holding you back in your life, and say, okay, that's my TMS. Mm-hmm. So like, for example, and also this is another thing about TMS. It's so arbitrary. Some days my TMS could show up like a headache, and some days it could show up like a stiff shoulder, and some days it could show up like a stomach ache, and some days it could show up like I'm feeling dizzy. Vertigo is a big TMS symptom.
Yes.
So, and mind you, none of these things ever are chronic for me. They're just ways I feel. You know, we all feel things through our bodies. Sometimes you feel things in your heart and sometimes you feel things in your body. They are literally interchangeable. So if you're having big feelings one day, you might feel that in your stomach. You might, and it might really look like you have a stomach disorder. But yeah. I am here to say you do not have any disorder. You are just a human being who is feeling things. So TMS, just when people say my TMS is acting up, they're just using that as a placeholder because they know at this point that their particular symptom is unimportant. And I think it's hard for people to get that.
Yeah, exactly. It does take a little while for that to sink in. But I think everybody suffers with this in one way or another, whether they are, you know, chronically suffering from something or just feeling a stomach ache because they're nervous or, you know, having mm-hmm. anxiety based on, you know, past experiences. That's also a TMS. It's just not like a chronic condition. It doesn't get to the point where it starts ruining your life.
Yes.
So yeah, where was I?
And what is the name of your website?
It's mytmsjourney.com.
Okay. So that's why I thought it had TMS in it. So that's why I wanted to make very sure to explain it. So mytmsjourney.com, and it's beautifully done. Such lovely work.
Thank you. I was being quite perfectionistic and procrastinating over what it needed to look like, and I wanted it to look great, and I was being super TMS-y and super perfectionistic the whole way through. But honestly, doing this work has actually stopped that a lot now. When I put something together and put it on the website now, I don't spend days over the cover photo that I'm going to put with it and over what I'm going to write on the Instagram posts and stuff. I literally just get something out there because, you know, showing up for people is more important than what font I'm going to use and what color I'm going to use and all that kind of shit that I used to just spend days worrying about.
Yeah. And I think that's actually a really good point, because oftentimes people come into this work because of some sort of pain or symptom or syndrome or condition, mm-hmm. but that becomes the biggest, littlest part, because we realize then how much healing we need to do over things that we never considered a problem, perfectionism, right?
For sure. I had so much of that. And there's so many. I'm actually going to probably write a post this week about like the side effects of this work that sounds terrifying, but I mean that most of the, well, all of them are positive side effects. So you know, like something like you know, not only less anxiety and stress, but like I'm more resilient now than I used to be towards any kind of stress and you know, conflict that goes on in my life. I've become fiercely protective of the peace that I've built with this work, like setting boundaries with people and just sort of being truthful and courageous and stuff like that. There's loads of different things that I feel so differently about myself now than I did before. Self-awareness and mindfulness and just being calmer than I was before. I slow down now. I never used to slow down, ever. My mind was always dancing around, like, you know, that episode of Simpsons where Homer's got that monkey on a bike in his head. That was my mind, like, and now it doesn't really do that anymore. It's amazing just how much has changed from this journey. It's ridiculous, really. I feel completely like a completely different person, and people have said to me that I actually look like a different person as well, which is quite weird.
It's amazing, but that's the thing, and that's why this work is truly the definition of the modern miracle, because it's when we get our brains and our nervous system settled into this rest and repair scenario, things really start to change ways that you didn't even know were possible.
I didn't even know were a problem either.
Right.
The only thing that I was like literally doing anything about was my back pain. I had no idea there was anything else was an issue. You just get so used to your life the way it is. And as it starts to unravel and you're like, oh my God, I was so obsessive about this thing. Or the perfectionism is a great example. Like I would just obsess over the tiniest amount of like pixel perfect detail in something that I'm designing. That's bullshit. And no one is going to notice it except me.
Right.
But couldn't possibly put something out there that wasn't 1,000,000% in my eyes perfect, because then it wouldn't be good enough. And like you've always say, like, you know, you're always scanning the radar of your life for somewhere that you're going to fuck up. And that was just so right for me. I was always doing that. I had no idea that I was actually, you know, a form of sort of self-hatred, like you say, you know, like just always criticizing yourself that it's never good enough.
Totally. Yes. I mean, that's a big one.
Yeah, that's dialed down massively. I wouldn't say it's completely gone. I'm still working on that, but it is like 1,000,000% better than it was.
And you're also doing something sort of officially with yoga now too as well, right?
So when I did the website and I was like, okay, majority of the resources that I used are on there and stuff. And I was like, you know, I do enjoy my day job to a certain extent, but I was also like, maybe there's something I can do with this. And some people were asking me like if I was a coach or could I help them and stuff like that. And I do answer people's questions if they message me and whatever based on my own experience as well as I can. But I was like, I don't really want to be another coach or in this space where I'm kind of dealing with everyone's problems, and I just didn't feel like that was right for me. And I'm like driving my life now based on intuition massively, like really trusting my knowing.
Just so
all
great.
That. Yeah. Like literally every decision I make now is, how does that feel? Does it feel wrong? Don't do it, or the opposite. So it took me ages to figure out, like, where do I live in this space? I didn't want to compete with anyone else. I didn't want to be a coach. And I was like, but this is so, I'm so passionate about this subject matter now. And it has become, I'm just fascinated by the biology of it and the science of it and all that kind of stuff. So I just thought, where do I live in this space? Like, I need to find what my role is in this. I didn't understand what that was. I just put the website out there and just see what stuck. And then even when I got back from the yoga teacher training, I was like, I didn't realize that I could marry these two things together. But as I kind of practiced more and I learned more about yoga philosophy and all that kind of stuff, I realized, and it was a bit of a light bulb, and it was an obvious light bulb, but I didn't see it. It was like, you know, yoga teaching is, well, the way that it's understood is like, it's not just movement. Like, it's in the West, yoga is known as an exercise program, but in traditional yoga, like the physical postures didn't even exist back in the day. You know, it's been around for thousands of years, and the asana practice is only very recent. So it's basically mindfulness, meditation, and breath work. So I was like, oh my God, that's basically a huge part of what I did to recover from my back pain, was these three things. So I was like, getting away from fear of movement and getting back to some physical activity without the fear being in the way. Gentle yoga was that for me. Like, it helped me massively in my recovery. But I didn't, because it wasn't like a taught TMS practice, and it wasn't kind of given to me as like, do this because it will help you, you know, from any of the other kind of gurus or, you know, TMS teachers, whatever. I thought I'd just do that and that's my exercise. But I came to find out that the sort of emotional side, the mindfulness side, and the meditation side was just absolutely like propelling my recovery forwards, definitely. And not fearing movement was huge. And that happened quite early on because, you know, it's one of Sarno's main sort of principles.
Right.
So even when I just first read his book, I was like, right, fuck this. I'm just going to go back to the gym and do some really simple stuff, basic Pilates and basic yoga. And then, yeah, it was a bit of a light bulb a couple of months ago where I was just kind of like, wait a minute, maybe I can actually use my qualification and teach people what worked for me and teach really simple, you know, TMS principle based yoga where we're working a lot on breath and meditation and coming out of that anxiety space and just, you know, and also being in a little community where we're sort of holding space for each other and we're understood. Like, someone comes into my class and I already understand what they're going through, which is a huge thing, I think. So yeah, there's different facets that I think would just sort of led me into doing this. And I just thought, you know what, sod it, I'll just put it out there and see what sticks. And, you know, maybe some people would want to practice with me and find out what worked for me in learning these different modalities. And yeah, it's been received really well. So I think it's funny because it feels now that like this feels like the inner knowing that we have and the intuition that we have. This feels 100% right for me. And it feels like it's my actual life dharma, like my purpose. It's my duty now to follow this path of being of service to people that I was in their space not so long ago, and actually giving back in a way that is an actual giving back rather than just here's some information that might help you, like face to face, get to know each other in a little community, and I can actually help you hands on, help you do this.
So Danny, if people are listening to this and they're thinking to themselves, all right, well, I don't really know much about yoga, or I really am too uncomfortable to even do this, is there any base level of like ability that you think people need, or can anyone show up? Tell us about that.
Yeah, anyone can show up. I've made it so simple that we don't even get up off the floor, basically. I'm going to probably add another level in at some point of different level classes, but the ones I'm doing at the moment are called Reset and Restore. So it's literally all floor based. You don't even have to balance, stand up, any of that kind of thing. it's seated or all fours or lying down positions. It's mostly with your eyes closed and just deep breathing, following beautiful music. It's so beginner level. It's like, but everything's kind of adaptable as well. So if I give like an instruction to do a specific movement, it's like, if you can't do that, you know, use this prop like a block or a cushion or whatever, or just pull back and do a really easy variation of it. So I'll give like maybe two variations of each thing, one super simple and one like basically barely moving simple. So
right,
I've made it really, really accessible for, you know, maybe not absolutely everyone. If you're, you know, really in a lot of pain, you can't actually move at all, or you're in a wheelchair or something like that. If you're, you know, you have a disability or something, then obviously it might be a bit trickier. But you could do all of this sitting in a chair, for example, if you can't sit cross-legged or lie down or something, or, you know, easily get down onto the ground. So it's really, really beginner level. But I also think that it's good to say that, you know, even if you're a really experienced yogi, or you used to be a triathlete, or, you know, you're really, really physically able, or you have, you know, you don't have a physical symptom, like a pain symptom, if you have like IBS or whatever, then anybody can do this, because it's focusing on regulating the nervous system and bringing you out of fight or flight and doing movement without fear. It's not how much physical shit can you do.
Right.
It's not the goal at all. It's not, and it's in no way a substitute for the emotional, mindful work that goes into recovering from stress illness at all. Because, you know, doctors can say to you all the time, you've probably heard this, and it becomes a bit of a joke, a bit of a cliche in the doctory world, like, ooh, have you tried yoga to any right. kind of ailment that you have? It's almost a piss take, isn't it? It's like, oh, Jesus. Yeah, thanks very much. You see it in the chronic pain community quite a lot on Instagram, like, I've got all these symptoms. I went to my doctor for the, you know, to get a diagnosis, and he told me to try yoga. It's a joke, right?
Right, right.
But there's so much truth to it, because it literally can influence your nervous system so much that at will you can actually, you know, activate your parasympathetic and come out of that freak show format that you're in at will.
Yes, and that is such an important part, because what you start to learn when you do this work, both the emotional work that I teach and then bringing your body into it and become embodied, which is what Danny teaches, you do understand that you have a hand in this.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily have control. I don't ever want people to have control be the goal, because we have no control over anything, guys.
Nope.
Just spoiler alert. But we do have control over our breath. We do have control over our self-care, over mm-hmm. our next right considered action based on our breath and our self-care. And yeah. so these are the places you start to empower yourself and regain exactly. control of the things that you thought you didn't even have control over. So mm-hmm. So if people want to – so – oh, wait. Before I even say if people want to find you, because I do want to say that, but I want to say something else that occurred to me before when you were talking. Mm. You know, let's say – a person is in the worst of the worst, right? They're just racked in pain. They're bedbound, and they hear this and they say, all right, well, I can't do that yet. What I want people to know is what I seek to offer here in this podcast is a basket of hope. Mm-hmm. And the basket of hope contains people's success stories. It contains the real-time heals. So you're watching people in the midst of their journey. It contains interviews with experts and interviews with people like Danny, who have healed completely and now have built her whole life based on sharing this healing. So, but one of the things that I want to put out there is goals and possibilities. So let's say you're finding this work and you're completely new. Okay. Know that work that like a person like Danny does is out there and is possible for you. So maybe start with the emotional work. You know, you might want to read Dr. Sarno's book. You might want to read mine. You might want to just take advantage of the free resources, join my Facebook community, go to the Instagram, you know, whatever it is that you're going to do to include yourself in this process. And then know, and I also have that. You know, I know, Danny, you do online classes. It's like you could mm-hmm. even just put on the class and watch it.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
prepare yourself to be ready to
exactly.
do it.
Yeah, I've suggested that to a few people that are, you know, struggling at the moment with something else, like a friend that's in your community as well, Paul. He's struggling to recover from COVID now. So it's like he doesn't want to overwhelm his lungs and
right.
you know, his ability and stuff like that. So you can just watch. You can just do the breath work. You can just close your eyes and listen to the music and let that take you away. Like, that is a huge part of this program anyway. You can just connect with the other people in the class. You can just become a bit of a community face-to-face where you're not just a name on online, you know, like, as there's something to be said about bringing people together and feeling that level of connection, social interaction face-to-face, and just feeling, yes, like you're not alone. Like, that's a big part of this too. But you can do it from, I was actually thinking of doing a yoga from bed class, like, next week, maybe, you know, just throw, nice, one in there a week, like, where you literally can do it on your bed. Like, you can do it anywhere. You can just watch or not watch. You just listen if you want. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's something to have out there. So if somebody's listening and they're interested in finding you and signing up for these classes, tell them how to find you.
So, it's mytmsjourney.com/yoga is the web address to get to that section of my website where the classes are listed. And there's a beautiful video there as well that, my friend Chrisana made, from Live Wide Films. She's amazing. One of the girls that I actually connected with through your online group on Facebook, Dana, that's her partner, Chrisana, they're amazing girls. So yeah, there's a video there to check out, but there's like a list of the classes that I have going on at the moment. I've got 2 classes a week. By the time, I don't know when this is going to air, but there might be a third one. So it's Tuesdays and Thursdays, and you can check out all the schedule there, and there's loads of information as well of like what to expect in class, so that you can, you know, dumb your fears a little bit if there's some, you're a bit scared of what, you know, what to do, what do I need and all that kind of stuff. Do I need to have props and a mat and all that kind of stuff?
Awesome.
And there's some reviews there, and it'll just, you know, hopefully settle people's fears down about taking part or just giving it a go. So yeah, it's there. It's there as a resource for people to try if you want to. There's no commitment or anything like that. You can just drop in once and then drop out, whatever you feel.
Well, this is just an incredible resource. And Danny, I just want to say from me, I so appreciate you, because I can't do this alone.
No.
You know, I generally do this alone in terms of my effort. You know, I'm just showing up, doing what I can do. But when people decide to take the baton, and I never asked you to do any of this stuff, no, this is just what you've decided. It's so helpful to me, because I love that there's more stuff out there that is quality, that is thoughtful, that is well done, that people can go and access. And that's why it was important for me to have you back on the podcast, because you've made such incredible progress. Your transformation is so amazing. And then you've taken it, and now you're paying it forward in this big way. So thank you so much.
No, thank you. I think this is the perfect opportunity to thank you for what you do. I think I speak for everyone in this community when I say that you are a blindingly shining bright light in this community, and I will be forever grateful for what you did for me. So thank you.
You are so welcome. So finally, we only have a couple minutes left. I just want to say what I often say to people I interview, Danny. You're looking out upon a sea of very frightened, sometimes desperate people. What is your nugget of wisdom? What is the best advice you can give to people wherever they are?
I think my best advice would be, don't give up. Mm. Don't stop. When you feel like you can't do it anymore and it isn't working for you, keep going. Just do it slowly, do it gradually if you have to. Take a big deep breath, let everything slow down, but don't stop doing it, because you might just be millimeters away from turning a corner and getting to where I am now, which is completely pain-free, and just your life is waiting for you on the other side of that barrier, you know, that you might think is the end. It's actually the beginning.
Yes, don't quit before the miracle happens.
No.
Your life is waiting for you on the other side of that barrier, and you never know what moment is going to bring that barrier down.
That's right.
So that is great, great advice. Well, Danny, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. It was lovely to talk to you.
All right. And I'm going to be, you know, I'm scared of yoga because I'm not flexible, but I'm going to be joining. I'm going to be joining a class soon. It's my goal. It's part of the reason why I'm like, Nicole, talk to her and then make a commitment to come to a class.
Yeah, so now you have to.
I'm going to. No, look, now like thousands of people are my witness. I'm going to come to the fucking yoga class. All right.
Awesome.
All right, guys, listen, it's been such a pleasure to be with you guys today. If you are enjoying the podcast, please take a moment to jump over to iTunes and rate and review it. It helps people find the podcast and then in turn find people like Danny who are helping so much in this effort to bring this message out to the globe. And until next time, this has been The Cure for Chronic Pain with me, Nicole Sachs. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.